Welcome back to the O Jogo Bonito podcast, hosted by me, Jay Caron. Today we're joined with Mr. Ferguson.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you doing?
Wow, football and the January transfer window. Chelsea win the January transfer window just off from the offset.
How much did they spend? They spent 500 million over this season so far?
600 million, I think.
600 million? I know they spent more than the Bundesliga. They spent more than the whole Bundesliga, and I think their net spend
is more than Serie A's most expensive signing, I believe, was like 13 million, if that, maybe 3 million.
I think that, yeah, the Chelsea net spend is more than the combined net spend of the Bundesliga, Serie A, and La Liga, I want to
yep.
say. It's absolutely daft. It's no surprise that FIFA are coming in and trying to clamp down on these 10-year contracts with, you know, with installment fees all the way through, because you know, it works in something like MLB, for example, but it's a big change to the way that football contracts are being handed out. I can't believe I'm saying this as a United fan. I really want them all to do well, because if they don't do well, Chelsea are going to be in massive trouble.
Exactly, and I think that the amortization is just very, very good accounting, ultimately. And then the rules will change. Mm. So, therefore, I think Chelsea have had a great January transfer window.
Yeah, it's strange. I also follow Formula One quite closely as well. And Formula One is so heavily geared towards finding loopholes in the system and exploiting the loopholes. Every time a new set of regulations come out, you have teams and lawyers pawing all over it, trying to find where they can technically reinterpret a particular wording and therefore do this thing that's going to get them more time. It feels like Chelsea's lawyers have done that here. They've kind of gone, well, they've air-budded it. They've gone, there's no rule that says a dog can't play football.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Chelsea are, Chelsea have done really, really well. I think Man United did very well getting Sabitzer over the line.
In 12 hours?
As well.
They should have looked at it earlier. For certain, because soon as Eriksen leaves Old Trafford on crutches, you start looking at midfielders. But that said, good work.
And it was similar when Man United bought Cristiano Ronaldo back. Obviously, he was rumored to go to Man City, and then boom, 24 hours later, he's a Man United player. So United can get deals done quickly. It's just, can they be bothered to get deals done quickly? Look at Casemiro, that was a couple of days.
Mm. Well, actually, no, Casemiro has been... It took a long time, that. They've been tapping him up since June, apparently.
Wow.
Fred had been talking to him quite a lot, and they had that deal on the back burner in case they couldn't sign De Jong.
Well, thank God the Frankie De Jong deal dissipated.
Thank goodness for Rabiot's mother.
That as well. Because we've got the best defence midfield in the world, so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and again, you saw his influence over the weekend and during midweek as well.
Exactly. Actually, we're going to do a first. We're going to do something that we've never done before here.
Ooh.
Because we're going to quickly, again, listeners at home won't be able to see this, but I've been told that the Real Madrid goals against Valencia in their 2-0 victory were outstanding. So we're going to load up La Liga.
Just remember to turn the sound down, otherwise that plays loud.
I have muted that. I've muted this here on the speakers.
Okay. Can you just open... on the bottom row,
yep.
Go along to where all the app symbols are,
yep.
And the second one from the further left.
Yep.
Second one from the right, that one.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, you don't want to mute that because that's muted the whole stream.
Ah, okay.
So, unmute that.
Unmute that?
Yep, unmute that.
Hopefully you'll be able to hear us.
they can't hear us at the moment. No, okay, this is just you're getting a behind the scenes look at how Dukebox functions at the moment. And then if you open the volume meter again, but you right click and go to sound settings, I think is what you want, or mixer. You right click on the icon at the bottom.
Ah, okay, got it.
Volume mixer, that's what you want.
Cool.
And then you can... Edge is muted already. That's great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So...
Because, of course, we use Edge because we're Microsoft Showcase School. That makes me feel a lot better. We're currently watching an advert for a film from Marvel Studios. Other studios are available.
Quick skip of that. And now we'll... A first time. So we've got Real Madrid Calvin Vinga playing left back, actually, because Fernand Mendy's out for a while.
They've got so many midfielders that they're just sticking them in whatever position they can find them now.
Valencia have Voro in charge as the interim manager for the eighth time. And that's a good save from Mamardashvili, the goalkeeper.
Yeah, third minute chance there. It's a lovely through ball to play him in as well. But you kind of sense the pattern of the game just from looking at it. Madrid just waves and waves of attack.
Madrid's interplay is always amazing. I think
it's great.
Possession. Oh, if you just look at this, hang on. Look at this ball from Toni Kroos.
Yeah, it's a lovely ball on the turn through two lines.
Poor pass from Vinicius, but
yeah. But again, you look at that. It's so interesting looking at it from. You know, I grew up sort of.
That's
cracking left-footed finish from the far side. That's an Antony-esque finish or an Ian Robin-esque finish.
That's just honestly
really well hit. It doesn't even bend. Actually, it kind of just goes straight.
It's like an arrow, actually.
Yeah, it's like a knuckle ball, but from...
Yeah, no chance Mamardashvili to go.
No, not at all. But yeah, it's interesting watching this compared to Galacticos era.
And yeah, great goal for Vinicius.
Yeah, lovely solo run down the left. But yeah, the Galacticos era didn't have this much interplay. It wasn't this style of squad. No, that's a very sort of... That's a FIFA goal, that is. Yep. I can't tell you how many of those I've scored on FIFA. Play a through ball from your own half. Have your fastest man run onto it down the wing and cut inside. He's about to try and do it again.
Well, tough that was Luka Modric, not Vinicius Jr. So.
No, he's not quite as quick.
Good block,
still made
actually.
A good effort.
Good block.
But they're so much a better team now than they ever have been before, I think. They have players who've played together for a while, who understand each other. And it really sort of it shows they are, I think, much scarier to play now even than they were when they had that terrifying. Oh, and there's a scrap now.
I think this results in a red card for Gabriel Paulista gets sent off, former Arsenal player. That's a bad challenge. That's a very bad challenge. Valencia, obviously, as I said, sacked Gattuso in midweek, which. I'm not a huge fan of. I think Gattuso is actually a very, very good manager.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, it's hard to to stick by someone when they're not getting the results, I suppose. But he's a good manager. But yeah, I think that even when you look at that 2017 Champions League final squad, that absolutely fearsome unit that had Ronaldo and Vinicius Jr.
Vinicius joined in 2018.
Oh, who did they play on the left then?
Ronaldo on the left, Bale and
Benzema. Oh, of course, yes, Ronaldo, Bale, Benzema.
And then you had Modric, Kroos, Casemiro.
Although Bale was on the bench for the final, wasn't he?
I think so. It might have been Asensio.
Yeah.
And then you've got, obviously, Ramos. Ramos and Varane. But then the first iteration of the team was Ramos and Pepe, obviously. And then that was...
But yeah, that was that's a terrifying squad in terms of individual talent, but this squad can play together as a team. Sure. And it's the evolution of football, really. It's a game that's being played almost as much by the managers now as it is by the players. You're looking at there's a renewed focus with Pep ball and gegenpressing and De Zerbi ball and all of these things, and Ten Hag ball, and all of these different manager balls.
Yeah.
Soon it's commentator balls, if any of you read The Private Eye. It's a manager's game almost more than it is a player's game these days. Obviously, you need your players to execute the game plan, and to have those moments of individual brilliance when you aren't, when the plan isn't quite working.
Yeah.
But having said that, the plan is more often than not what seems to get results these days.
Speaking of manageable, the team we're going to be breaking down today and analysing for possible transfers is Nagelsmann Ball FC, also known as Bayern Munich. Pretty smooth transition, right?
Very smooth. Bayern Munich, man. It felt like... it was about 3 or 4 years ago. They've always been a big team. Let's not beat about the bush. They've been a big team for a while. They've been dominant force in German football for quite a while too. But for a long time, it didn't really feel like they were upper echelons of the European teams. It felt like they were great, but not elite. And then all of a sudden, they had two or three years where they were suddenly the unstoppable force of European football, and then they just kind of, it just stopped again.
Yep.
It's so strange. It's really, really odd, and I don't quite understand how it happened.
I'd attribute it to a couple of factors. First of all, Hansi Flick leaving. Julian Nagelsmann, a very young manager, coming in. You've got key players aging. For example, Thomas Müller. Lewandowski also left, actually.
Yeah, I mean, losing Müller and Lewandowski is huge to any team.
Müller's still here, but he's on the
he's
way.
He's not the same player, though.
Goretzka's been injured. They've had a new centre-back come in. Pavard has not been up to scratch, so there's a few factors here. Obviously, Sadio Mane came in as well. So Bayern have got a few things going on transitionally in terms of their squad.
I'm looking at their squad on the Bayern Munich website, and they've only got four midfielders listed. How have you got away with that? Obviously, there were people in the forward positions, and I would argue some in the defence positions as well that really play better as midfielders. But all the same,
their midfield is very thin.
Yeah.
Obviously got Cancelo in on loan from Man City, which I think is a masterstroke in my opinion.
Yeah, fantastic.
He's a much bigger upgrade on Pavard, and I think he already got an assist in his first game. So,
and if you sign a player who's unhappy with one club, especially if, and we're not entirely certain, but if it is because he's properly fallen out with Pep, then this is a brilliant way to try and stick it to him by saying, look, this is how well I can play.
Exactly.
And you wanted to not give me minutes.
And you've got Mazraoui, who's been injured. Granberg's not got many games. Sabitz has gone on loan to Man United. You've got Bounassar right back. So if I was looking at this Bayern squad, sorry, Mr. Ferguson, if you look at this Bayern squad, obviously bearing in mind Manuel Neuer has been injured because of he's broken his arm or done something to his knee because of a skiing accident. So they brought in Jan Sommer from Gladbach, I think, on a six-month deal. Where would you be looking to improve the Bayern Munich squad?
Well, I'd actually, I think, be looking at striker, I think. They've got plenty of wingers. They've got Sané, Kerman, Mane. They've got Musiala, who I think plays better as a 10, but probably plays off the left wing as well.
Nagelsmann's trying him as an 8, actually.
Yeah, I mean, as an 8, I see that too. I said 10, I meant 8, yes. I think that is sort of natural position for me, looking at what he did over the World Cup, because that's really all I've seen of him so far. But yeah, it's that midfield is obviously an issue. If you've only got you've got Kimmich, Goretzka, and Gravenberch in there, who are good players. And actually, there's a nice balance in there, I think, of experience and youth coming through. But I don't think there's enough youth coming through, and I don't think they've actually got enough depth in there. I don't know much about Paul Vanner.
I think he's just a youngster coming through the academy. So he German youth international, made a couple of appearances for Bayern here and there. Made one appearance actually in the Bundesliga. Goretzka is actually going to be 28 in 2 days' time. He shares, 3 days' time. He shares he's 1 day after the illustrious 5th of February, which sees Neymar and Ronaldo change ages on the same day. So Goretzka's 28.
Kimmich is early 30s?
He's 2 days after, so he's going to be 28 as well.
Oh, he's going to be 28. So actually, they've got more time in them than I think they do. But having said that,
Hernandez is also out. Sorry to interrupt you, but Luka Hernandez is also out.
Yeah, and that's
with an injury.
That's an issue as
well. They signed Daley Blind to replace him. They got Josip Stanisic, who's a right back, I believe. They've got Davies.
It's somewhat similar to what I said about Madrid in our last episode. I look at this squad actually and I think you've got some really, really, really good players there. Imagine a centre defensive partnership which features Matthias de Ligt, who was possibly one of the best centre backs in Europe when he was playing at Ajax. And he's good, don't get me wrong, but it feels like something hasn't clicked.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. I think he's fantastic personally, but some things just not clicked. I don't know if it's because there's been a change in system or if it's because he's not had a steady partner to develop a relationship with, because we've seen how important that can be at all these big clubs. You know, City's title winning season with Diaz and Stones they formed a really good relationship and played lots of minutes together. I think I would be looking at, I think we talked about this previously, Alphonso Davies doesn't want to go and play left back anymore, does he? I think he wanted to play centre back.
No.
Was it the other way around?
No, Davies still wants to play left back. I think it was Lucas Hernandez who might want to play centre half.
Right.
Obviously, he's injured.
Yeah.
They were open Meccano. Pavard apparently is a bad egg in the dressing room, so he's probably going in the summer.
Yeah, in which case, I'd probably say that a centre back would be in order. I'm not convinced it's the immediate problem. But if you could sign a young centre-back and bed them in alongside De Ligt, then that would solve your problem for a few years, because De Ligt is still fairly young as well.
I'd agree.
Alphonso Davies is still one of the best left-backs.
Could we go to Real Madrid in 18 months' time? That's the only
could
thing.
Be. Yeah, he could be. And at that point, yeah, you'd need to do something about him. But I think until that point, I think you'd take him. You know, signing a left-back is not a priority when you have Alphonso Davies at left-back.
Although he is a bit injury prone, so
yeah, he is. That's true.
In saying that, once hypothetically the squad is all fit, I've identified a few positions. I'd first of all get a goalkeeper, a long term no replacement, because
he's getting older. Yeah,
Sommer's only going to be there for 6 months. It's a very very good short term sign. 6 months. Mm. In 6 months' time, they're going to have to get a new goalie, in my opinion. Goalkeeper, a centre back. I would sign João Cancelo permanently. I know the fee's 60-odd million, but they could probably negotiate that. I'll go for a central midfielder and a nine. So I've got sort of four or five positions here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement. You could probably get one more season out of Neuer, I think, if you want to.
He's had a big injury, though. That's the only concern.
He has had that. And it may depend on how he looks when he comes back from that injury, whether you try and sign a goalkeeper this summer or not.
He's been on the wane, though. He lost his place to Stegen at the World Cup, so.
Yeah, I think that's more of a future-proofing thing than it is a talent thing. I still think Neuer's a better keeper than Stegen.
Stegen has the most joint most clean sheets in Europe, though. And sorry, he's up there in the clean sheets table. Yeah. I think United.
He's playing in that Barcelona team, which is, you know, which is doing really well defensively,
really consistently
at the moment.
As well,
yeah.
So.
Haven't said that for a while, have we? I think that personally, I think you could hold off getting a new keeper for another year. I'd certainly be starting to send feelers out this summer.
I would look to get a new goalkeeper.
Do you have anyone in mind that they'd go for? If they went this summer, let's suppose.
I mean, I was going to say this, but he's been injured as well, so I'm not going to say who I was going to say. I think you know who I'm going to say. I was going to talk about Mike Maignan, but market values. Let's see by position. Where can I get?
I'm throwing this out there as this is very much a wild suggestion.
Go on.
Would Bayern be stupid to try and sign David De Gea, and United use that money to get a keeper that better fits Ten Hag's system?
Actually, speaking of which, the Mamardashvili goalkeeper from Valencia would be a very, very astute pickup. He's 22 years old. Emi Martinez would be a good pickup as well, I'd say.
I'm not sure he'd go for that. I think he's enjoying playing in the Premier League.
Really? I think you put him in a Bayern team where the Champions League football, you can win the league.
Yeah,
it's a no-brainer, really. I mean, I'm looking at Oblak's not going to get a move. Edison's not going. Alisson's not going. I would say, actually, here's a hot take. I think Keylor Navas is a better goalkeeper than Gianluigi Donnarumma.
You know what? Actually,
he's more.
I'm not sure I'd say better. I think they're. I wouldn't want to choose between them. But I think Keylor Navas is extremely underrated. I lost track of him during deadline day. Did he get his move to Forest?
He went to Forest. Yes,
he did. Yeah,
that's a brilliant move. Brilliant pickup. So that's Dean Henderson at Forest done as well. I know that granted they only got him on loan, but Keylor Navas is going to save them a lot, in my opinion. I think.
And they were already getting save points by Henderson anyway.
Exactly. Granted, Navas is a bit on the shorter side for a goalkeeper, but his athleticism is unparalleled. So yeah, I would go for maybe Mamardashvili. I think he's a young project, 22 years old. Georgian international may help them get a certain other Georgian international from Napoli in the future. And then at centre-back, I mean, I know Skriniar's gone already to Paris Saint-Germain. Defenders, we go for centre-backs. Again, thank you to Transfermarkt for this.
Wonderful website.
So what do you got? Delict. Let's look at the.
Who have they? Would you want to right side or left sided centre back?
Left side. Actually, I'm just going to put it straight out there. Go Bastoni.
Yeah, that's a really good shout. I think that's a really good shout.
Or even in my head, I first thought of Yuen Timber as well.
Yeah, Timber would be a good call as well. I'm not sure I actually wanted to lose both of their first choice centre backs in consecutive summers.
I think Timber's a gentleman's agreement to go this summer, so it'd be United. I'd go United or Bayern, I'd say. So that's Timber, Mamardashvili, and again, I'm not going based off that three minute highlights.
Mm.
I've seen him in games previously, and he's made some world class saves. They do have Matthias Tell, who they signed from Rennes, born in 2005. He's been very, very good, leading him in slowly. I think once they sign Joao Cancelo, the fullbacks will be very stacked. It will be very, very well.
Yeah,
stopped.
Yeah, you don't need to.
And then,
fullbacks.
Bounassar and Daily Blind obviously go after their contracts expire. So you've got, imagine you've got Cancelo and Mazraoui on the right. You've got Davies and Luca Hernandez on the left.
Yeah, the wings are completely locked down for Bayern, yeah, once that's sorted. Because then, you know, you've got Gnabry, Sané, Mane, Koeman, Musiala when he moves around,
Matthias Tell as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Sadio Mane. And now we're going to look at some central midfield. Have you got a name in mind, Mr. Ferguson?
For central midfield, I'm still of the opinion that any club worth their salt should be spending 120 million on Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
Because he improves any team that he goes into. But I don't think that will be Bayern's way. I don't think they would splash that much money. I think they should, but I don't think they will. So, with that in mind, I'm trying to think who would work well in that Bayern system.
So they have to be slightly, because the Kimmich-Goretzka midfield is sort of it's a midfield two, and you've got one will attack, one will defend. So you want someone similar to Goretzka in their profile.
Yeah.
I wish I had my access to Smarter Scout on this, because I've got a free account so I could check similar players, etc. But
we're not sponsored.
We're not sponsored, unfortunately.
But yeah,
I wonder if, I mean, Barella's on this list. We're not going to say Frankie de Jong. Caicedo would be very, very expensive.
Yeah, he'd be extremely expensive.
Here's a shout, actually. Franck Kessié from Barcelona in the summer, if they want to let him go.
I love Kessié. I think Kessié is a fantastic player, and I'm amazed that more people didn't try and get in when Barcelona tried to pinch him. True. Or when Barcelona did pinch him.
On a free as well.
Yeah, because that was outstanding business. Really, really good. The only thing I would say is that Barcelona team seems to be paying a lot of wages to a lot of people, so he could be quite expensive. You know,
wage
transfer
wise.
Fee outside, wage-wise, that could be a lot of money you're expending.
Here's also another idea. Matteo Guendouzi to Bayern Munich, or Manu Kone from Gladbach. Manu Kone is more of an energetic sort of... I'm trying to think of Goretzka replacement, because he's recently come back from injury, and obviously they've let Sabitzer go as well. So I'm looking for like a tall, sort of rangy-esque midfielder, and that's why I'm leaning towards Guendouzi.
Sorry, while you said tall, I've just suddenly remembered. Was it Southampton signed Harry Suter?
Yes.
Fantastic.
No,
business.
Sorry, not Southampton. Was it Southampton? Suter. Double T. No, still plays for Stoke, allegedly.
Was he still at Stoke? Oh.
No, Leicester, sorry. Leicester.
Yeah, fantastic business there. Really good. You're so good at
the big fans of Harry Suter here on Ojogo Bonito.
But yes, back to Bayern. You just said tall, and I suddenly went Harry Suter.
I say that they've got Konrad Leimer snapped up in the summer. So if I'm being dead honest, if you add Leimer to that midfield, I think actually sorted. To be honest,
I think you want more depth. I don't think you need
I'll say this. Maybe you want a creative replacement for Kimmich, and in that case, I'm going to pivot from Guendouzi to Nicolò Barella as a long sort of long-term Kimmich replacement. I say that Kimmich's 28.
But even so,
that gives you an extra edge in midfield, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you start betting that depth now, it saves you if there is a serious injury on the horizon. which only gets more likely as you get older. No,
yes.
28 is not that old, you're right, but it feels like there's more of a chance at that age.
I'd be inclined to agree, actually. And now we go to the very obvious number 9 position.
Yes, number 9.
Yes, number 9's. My suggestion would be Vlahovic, actually. I think you could get him for relatively cheap. And Bayern, in my opinion, Bayern don't spend more than 70, 80 million on a player. That's the max they go to.
Yeah, but Vlahovic, it'll be fascinating to see where he goes this summer, because obviously Juventus have been hit with that points deduction. They'll almost certainly miss European football.
Yeah.
So they won't be able to offer that to people. I wouldn't be surprised if there are more sanctions coming. Obviously, if you're not in the know about this, this is the allegations levelled against Juventus that they came to arrangements with players to falsify wages for the sake of financial reporting, which the league has taken a very dim view of, understandably. I wouldn't be surprised if more comes out of that than what is currently happening, because that went on over 2 seasons. And yeah, so it's going to make a difference in terms of their transfer plans. And Vlahovic will raise them a lot of money.
True.
I don't think they'll want to sell him, but I do think that... Well, actually, no, he's not worked out tremendously at Juventus, has he?
It's not. And they're not going to get Champions League football either. So I see him for going around... I mean, transfer markets valued him at 80 million euros. I see him for going around for around 75, 80. What they paid for him for Fiorentina. And
I
see Bayern spending that instead of Osimhen, if I'm being dead honest. Because Osimhen will cost double what Transfermarkt says, 170 million. Who costs about 140?
Yeah.
I don't see Bayern going for a Lautaro Martinez type player.
I don't think Vlahovic should be Kane. 80. Kane's always a shout. I'm starting to get the impression that he's going to be a Tottenham lifer, though.
Yeah.
I thought last season, I thought he might have gone. If he didn't go last season, I don't think he's going to go anymore. I don't think it's going to happen.
Fun fact, Kane and Lukaku are the same age. I was going to suggest Lukaku, but then I realised, where's your head at? So yeah, Dusan Vlahovic would be my pick. What about yourself?
Yeah, I still think Vlahovic, because he went for 80 million in the first place from Fiorentina, I think they'll try and sell him for more than that. I don't think they'll accept breaking even, even if they've had a couple of seasons out of him. I don't think they'll accept.
They've only had a year, actually.
Oh, only a year? Yeah, definitely don't think that then.
He was available in January. Real Madrid chose not to go for him. So,
yeah,
look, simply put, I think it's going to be... I think if Bayern add Vlahovic to the mix, granted, Eric Choupo-Moting has been amazing this season. Musiala's got 13 goals as well. That squad looks way better with the additions we've made.
Mm.
And obviously, if you ship Pavard out, then you can have Lucas Hernandez filling in. I would actually sign another left-back, if I'm being dead honest. I would sign sort of a younger left-back.
It's just someone to sort of bed in over time as a depth backup.
Yep. So if we go left-backs here, I mean, actually, I say that Grimaldo would be perfect.
Mm.
We've suggested him a lot for many teams. I think he's just perfect because A, you get him on a free transfer, and B, he's a very good creative left back.
He is.
He's good on set pieces.
My only concern about that would be that he'd want more game time than they could offer him at the moment.
Very true. That'd be something that I haven't obviously thought of. I'm also looking at other players, maybe Borna Sosa from Stuttgart. I was gonna say something. I was gonna say, what was I gonna say? Well, Malo Gusto. We recommended him for Real Madrid before he went to Chelsea. Mm. So we recorded that before he went to Chelsea when that was made official. So
I mean, any transfer predictions we make on this podcast, there's always a chance that before it gets published that Chelsea put in 200 million for them and they get signed. So
true.
I think we just need to attach that proviso to any of these future segments now.
I'd also be maybe looking at Rafael Guerrero from Dortmund. I think his contract's up as well. So
that would be a great shout as a back. I think he's at the stage of his career where he knows he's not going to be first choice centre back, but that he's willing to put in the work when he does get selected.
And I would get, actually, in saying that, I would sell Lucas Hernandez as well. I think he's been good, but I think he's been underwhelming. So if you raise cash from Hernandez, Pavard, you get... Pavard could go for about 25, 30, so that's 30. Hernandez could go 40, 50. Any club looking for a left-sided centre-half, so you've got 80 there. And if you're looking at sort of selling someone on the along the lines of, you know, I think, yeah, 80 there is really, really good business. And then obviously they've got Alexandre Nubel on loan as well at Monaco.
I'll ask this. If you could only sign one player for Bayern this coming transfer window, who would it be? Which position is the most pressing? Whose quality is the most needed? Nine?
Nine. Vlahovic.
Yeah. And I'd be inclined to agree as well, because they haven't been the same team since Lewandowski left.
True. I think they're trying to build a more fluid front three, but then just having someone different in there with Vlahovic. Garnett as well, I would say, yeah, João Cancelo is a really, really good piece of business.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really good.
Quickly moving on to our predictions. What were we last week, Mr. Ferguson?
So last week, obviously, though, we had a couple of cup fixtures and then quite a lot of focus on European football.
Yes.
That is your speciality. It was borne out in the scores. So you got 6 correct results out of the 9 that we predicted. And you got one of those with a perfect score, which was Napoli versus Roma, which you predicted 2-1 to Napoli. I got 2 correct results and 1 correct score.
What was your correct score?
My correct score was Leverkusen-Dortmund, which I predicted 2-0 to Dortmund.
None of us actually predicted Milan-Sassuolo, because that ended up being 5-2 to Sassuolo.
Oh, that, yeah.
Crazy game.
Absolutely
crazy
nuts.
Game.
But yes, so I lost to Edge this week. Edge had a bit of a shocker too, just because there were so many draws and Edge always picks a winner.
Yeah.
So Edge only got 3 correct results.
So where was I at? So I was top last week.
So you got 8 points last week, and I came away with a measly 4, which means that for the Lent term totals, it's now 1 point separating us again. 17 for you, 18 for the rest of the world.
Oh, hopefully I can clutch it up this week. So let's start off quickly with tonight's game in the Premier League, Chelsea against Fulham. Edge is back Chelsea. I'm going to go against that. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. What about yourself?
I think that's a very smart pick. Chelsea have so many players to bet in, and they're going to try and do it as quickly as possible. Yep. We spoke earlier about Chelsea and their signings, and the fact that they won't be able to even register them all for the Champions League.
True.
Why are you spending that much money on players if you cannot play them in the Champions League? But anyway, I digress.
I think there's an under-21s list that they could somehow work.
No, not for the Champions League.
Oh, that's only the Premier League?
That's only the Premier League.
Yeah, because obviously they signed Nonny Madueke as well, which is a really smart signing. So
yeah, you have to register all of your players for the Champions League. You can't just sort of put under-21s on a homegrown list.
Got it.
The Premier League you can do that with, which is why you can get away with these things and have massive, massive squads. But yes, for Chelsea Fulham,
I was going to back a Fulham win and a double for the Cottagers, but I thought sensible.
I just because it's home, I'm so tempted to pick a Fulham win. I'm so tempted. Do not understand. I was going to pick a Fulham win until you said 1-1. And something about that has thrown me, and I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea.
Wow. 12:30 tomorrow, Everton against Arsenal, lunchtime kickoff. Arsenal favourite to win. Mr. Ferguson, are you going to agree with Edge?
Absolutely I am. Arsenal are by far the better team in this scenario. I'm picking them 3-0.
I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal have been fantastic. Really, really good.
We're going to go quick fire through this. Wolves-Liverpool.
I'm actually taking this. I'm taking this 1-1.
Edgebacks Liverpool. I'm going to go 1-0 Liverpool.
Okay.
Brentford-Southampton. Brentford favourite to win. Let's go 2-0 Brentford. That score's worked for me in the past.
Got to go somewhere. I'm taking a 0-0 here.
Villa-Leicester.
What to make of
Villa
this one?
Villa favoured to win by Edge.
I mean, this feels like a fixture where anything could happen. I think I am going to take Villa. I'm going to take them in a wild 3-2.
I'm going to go 2-0 Villa. Brighton-Bournemouth. Edge favours Brighton to win.
Understandably so. I'm also taking Brighton. I'll take him 2-0.
I'm going to take Brighton 2-1.
Okay.
Man United against Palace. Man United's favourite to win by edge. Obviously drew against Palace in the last Premier League fixture. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Man United victory.
Yeah, very sensible. I get the feeling things might flow here. I think it's going to be 4-0 United.
Wow. Very, very optimistic. I love it. half past five kickoff, Newcastle, West Ham. Newcastle favourite to win by edge. I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Newcastle victory. A lot of 2-0s for me this weekend.
I'm just going to quickly check the Premier League table again, actually, because I'm...
Newcastle are third.
Newcastle are third, and they're doing
West Ham, I think, are like 17th.
Yeah, West Ham...
16th, actually. 16th. I wasn't even looking at the table, actually.
You know what?
You're going for an upset.
Something in the water. I'm not going for an upset, but I'm going for a draw. Okay. I'm going to predict this 1-1, I think.
Moving on to Sunday's games. Nottingham Forest against Leeds United. Forest favoured to beat Leeds. I'm going to turn the tide. I think the star-spangled Leeds United midfield will bring... I'm going to go for a 3-2 Leeds United victory.
Leeds United States of America.
Forest favourite to win.
Forest our favourite to win. And did you say 3-2 for that?
To Leeds.
To Leeds. I can see why you've gone for it. I think Leeds actually will have a really good squad, but I don't think Keylor Navas is letting 3 goals in. I'm going to take Forest and I'm going to take them 1-0.
Spurs, Man City. Man City favourite to win. Spurs without Conte. Although Spurs are City's bogey team.
Yeah, they
are. I'm going to go 1-0 to Spurs. I could go horribly wrong for this one.
I think I'm with you, actually. I don't think City are on it at the moment. So I'm going to take City. I'm going to take Spurs as well. There's always a chance it goes Spursy. Yep. But I've actually got them 2-1 for this, I think.
We're going to predict the midweek Man United fixture as well. Man United against Leeds. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Man United victory for that one. Scott McTominay to get a goal if he plays. I think he's injured, actually, though he won't play. But United Leeds, always a very entertaining game.
Yeah, it could be anything. United will win it, I think, but the score could be anything, frankly. I'm going to take it... I think 3-1's a really, really solid shout. I'm going to go 3-0 then.
Barcelona-Sevilla on Sunday, 8 o'clock on ITV4 out of all places. Barcelona's favoured by edge. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Barcelona victory. I don't see anything else.
No, Barcelona fantastic at the moment. 4-0. 4-0 Barcelona.
We're on to the Bundesliga, Dortmund against Freiburg. I think, yeah, that's fourth against fifth. Edgebacks Dortmund. And so do I. I'm going to take your score from last time. Actually, not. I'm going to take a 3-2 Dortmund victory.
Okay.
Very leaky at the back.
They're playing well. I don't think there'll be that many goals in it, though. I think it's going to be a 2-0.
Dortmund,
yes.
Wolfsburg against Bayern Munich on Sunday. Bayern Munich obviously favoured to win. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Bayern Munich victory here. Wolfsburg put, I think, 5 or 6 past Freiburg the other couple weeks ago. They put 5 past Hertha Berlin and 6 past Freiburg. Who's their coach? Oh, I've lost this tab. Never mind. That's done.
I think Bayern are going to... They've had a string of draws recently. I think they're going to smash Wolfsburg here. I think they're going to find their form again.
We're going to go to Ligue 1 for another South Coast derby. Marseille-Nice. Marseille favoured to win. I'd be inclined to agree and I'm going to go 2-1 Marseille. Nice are 10th of some sort. Marseille are sort of 3rd, 4th, 2nd somewhere. 3rd, I think.
So Marseille favoured by edge?
Yes. Marseille are 2nd, actually, and Nice are 8th.
Yeah, and I think Marseille are the best team here, but I'm actually going to take a draw here. I think I'm going to take a 2-2 draw.
Interesting. I would have not picked that, but then again. We got the Derby de la Madonnina, or the Milan Derby for our English listeners. I probably butchered that. But Inter against Milan on Sunday. Inter favoured to win. Milan are in a slump.
But I'm going to go 2-1 Milan.
Which Milan?
AC Milan.
And they're the ones favoured by Edge?
No, Inter are favoured.
Oh, Inter are favoured by Edge.
So when, just for listeners here, whenever people talk about Milan, they talk about the red side, AC Milan. When they talk about Inter, they talk about Inter. So that's how it goes.
And you've gone 2-1 Milan.
Yeah, Milan, yeah.
Home advantage. I think home advantage is so important in a Milan derby.
We say that they share a stadium.
Well, that's also true, but the home, quote-unquote, advantage. I think 3-2 Inter.
Wow.
Inter. My Italian is not very good, actually.
And then you've got Sporting against Porto, which is, I believe, yeah, that's fourth versus second. Benfica are sort of 7-8 points ahead.
It'll be interesting to see how they cope without Enzo Fernandez for the rest of the season, though.
I think they'll be all right, you know.
It probably will. I don't think they'll lose enough points to lose the league, but it'll be interesting to see how much their form drops.
I'm going to go for Porto win here. Edge hasn't favoured anybody. Let's just say Edge favours Porto, because I think they would. I'm going to go for 2-1 Porto, and there's going to be a red card.
Okay. Do you know what?
Are you going to go for Sporting?
No, I'm not. I'm going to go for a dour 0-0. I just looked at it and went, you know what, I'm not filled with enthusiasm about this fixture. I've just got a gut feeling.
And the Benfiquista in me is very happy at this point. I'm looking at the Eredivisie, thinking that I have time, but obviously I don't. Well, we've got Feyenoord, PSV, why not? Feyenoord favoured to win. PSV just lost Cody Hakpo. Feyenoord at top. Perfect storm. I'm going to go 2-2. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. But because you've taken it, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to back a 3-1 Feyenoord, I think. Just because I think PSV have lost players. I think it's going to take them a little bit more time to find their footing again.
And there you have it. Another episode of the Jogo Bonito podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next week. Take care. Peace.